This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to do a random start to the morning here. We're not going to talk about the biggest story of the day, whether it's national, local, or state. We're going to just talk about a random couple of stories for you here this morning that just caught my eye. It's the whole primacy versus recency thing. You know, what did you see first? Is that what you're going to talk about? Or what did you see last? Is that what you're going to talk about? We're going to go with recency right now. Just sent a couple of things out via Twitter here this morning. I thought I had wrapped up all my show prep, at least as much as I could possibly do before we kick off the program here. And then I thought, man, I haven't checked out the Daily Wire, the Daily Caller, the Federalist, a few other sources that we like to check here. And so I thought, I better at least do a quick scan here. I still need to go in and check out the Federalist here. But anyway, let's see. Oh, did I not tweet that one? I thought I tweeted that one out here. There's a story in the DailyWire.com here. You know, the left and their mantra, believe all women. You might be passing a car in Bozeman that's got the bumper sticker, believe all women, on it right now. And so what about Tara Reid? Tara Reid is the woman who accused Joe Biden of rape. We're supposed to believe all women. Aren't we supposed to believe Tara Reid, right? Anyway, this is a crazy story. I haven't gotten a chance to read through the whole thing here. But apparently, Tara Reid is defecting to Russia for her own personal safety. So Biden's rape accuser is defecting to Russia because she is fearing for her own life. She is fearing for her own personal safety ahead of the 2024 elections. Anyway, I printed that up. It's in my stack of stuff. I'll give it more of a read here later on. But I just thought that was kind of interesting that a rape accuser of Joe Biden has to flee to Russia for her own personal safety. So anyway, that's the random start story for you here this morning. Here's another random start story for you here this morning. Liz Cheney. Apparently, Liz Cheney, the former member of Congress from the great state of Wyoming, even though she basically lived in Virginia, remember, she got booted. She got kicked to the curb by the people of Wyoming. And now Harriet Hageman is the member at large for the Cowboy State. Well, according to the Cowboy State Daily, this is another Daily Wire story that just caught my eye before we kicked off the show here. Liz Cheney, apparently she's an alum of Colorado College, CC, down in Colorado Springs. So they had her be the commencement speaker at Colorado College. And apparently a bunch of students turned their backs on Liz Cheney during her commencement speech, and several of them booed her as well. Now, not too surprising, right? I always thought that CC was a more liberal, progressive college, right? And then I'm sure there's some conservative students there. So you would expect a few students to turn their backs on Liz Cheney? No. According to Cowboy State Daily, over half of the students at their own graduation ceremony turned their backs on Liz Cheney. Pretty interesting, huh?
Here is your Montana news. A Wolf Point man pled guilty to attempted carjacking and brandishing a firearm in a crime of violence. Yet his crime spree was much more. At the end of September 2022, Santana Cruz Ledoux stole a lady's car at gunpoint as she delivered lab samples to a clinic and pepper sprayed her. Color 8 reports that later in mid-October, Ledoux drove around Great Falls in a stolen truck from North Dakota, got into a fight and discharged a pistol outside a hotel, then had a hit-and-run accident fleeing the scene. He tried to ditch the truck and carjack another car, firing a round at the driver. After running out of gas and hitching a ride, Ledoux stole that vehicle at the arrival of police and led them on a high-speed chase, crashing into a ditch by Sims. A woman with him since Great Falls called 911, fearing for her safety. Ledoux faces minimum 7 years and up to life in prison. That's the Montana News Minute. I'm Travis Swee.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine today with showers and storms looking to develop mainly during the afternoon hours. High temperatures will range from the mid-70s in Bozeman to about 83 in the Billings area. For tonight, still looking at some showers and thunderstorms, especially before midnight. Temperatures will then drop off in the upper 40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in the Billings area. Still looking at more active weather into the end of the work week as we'll see more bouts of showers and a few storms on Thursday. Otherwise, cloudy skies, highs from 71 in Bozeman to about 80 in Billings. Then still looking at more rain showers and a few storms Thursday night, lows near 51 in Bozeman, 58 in Billings. Friday, still looking at more periods of rain and a few storms. High temperatures fall off to around 60 in Bozeman to around 67 in Billings. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Hey, we had John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter. He joins us every Tuesday in the 8 o'clock hour of Montana Talks. But this Tuesday, we thought, hey, what the heck? Let's keep him around for the statewide hour as well. All 2 hours of our conversations with John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter. You can listen to it on the Montana Talks podcast. Easiest way to access it is...
Ask Juro's pharmacists about Dispill to simplify your life and improve your health. Juro's, 2043 Grand Avenue, Billings.
Serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'm still getting my show prep organized for you here this morning. Finally went and snagged my stack of stuff off the printer. So it's taken me a second. So I pulled up the printouts of some of the things I shared via Twitter yesterday. Since it's only 6:13 in the morning here, this one's a funny one. Let's share this with you here. Although, there'll be kids. A lot of kids are still in school here, so there'll be kids in the car later on in the 7 o'clock hour. Maybe I should save this one for when the kids are in the car so the kids can get a laugh out of this one as well. So the Babylon Bee, you know, the great Babylon Bee, the satirical website, they were finally allowed back on Twitter thanks to Elon Musk, thankfully. But anyway, you know, you got all these woke companies putting out their Pride Month LGBTQ propaganda stuff. And so anyway, the Babylon Bee created this satirical Taco Bell Pride Month commercial. It was pretty funny. It's got the Taco Bell icon there with the rainbow flag colors behind it. Because all genders deserve explosive diarrhea. For Pride Month, Taco Bell to continue giving explosive diarrhea to all genders and orientations. Isn't that nice of Taco Bell? They're going to celebrate Pride Month by giving all genders and orientations explosive diarrhea. There you go. No matter how you identify, you can get the explosion too. All right. That's just one of the funny headlines you'll see from the Babylon Bee. By the way, if you're looking for for random gifts, if you're like me and you're horrible at giving gifts, one of the best gifts I ever received was a book. A Babylon Bee book that just contains some of the funniest content you'll find from the Babylon Bee. So anyway, there you go. Just a random, you know, you might have, a graduation gift you're looking for. You might have, Father's Day coming up later. You know, good ideas for you there if you're a bad gift giver like I am. All right, let's talk about the gift that keeps on giving, which is our national debt. The debt that is facing this country, you know. Yesterday we had a great chat with John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, joined us, not just for the 8 o'clock hour on Tuesday as he always does, but every now and then he'll stick around for the 9 o'clock hour as well. So we did that, yesterday morning, but, great chat when it comes to this whole debt ceiling deal that was announced over Memorial Day weekend. And we're going to cover that in a little bit more depth today. Also, very excited to report, one of the things John Jackson said yesterday was, we were talking about how Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale was the first to come out swinging publicly against the debt ceiling deal that was announced. And, you know, John Jackson said, hey, wouldn't it be great if Congressman Rosendale joined us on the show to talk about it? And so later this morning, we're going to do just that. Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale is going to kick off our statewide 9 o'clock hour of the show here later this morning to talk about his opposition to this debt ceiling deal. But yeah, we're going to have both sides of the conversation for you here once again later this morning. You know, we've got audio of Newt Gingrich. I shared some of his written remarks from his op-ed yesterday on the program. Former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich was on with Sean Hannity last night, talking about it in a little bit more depth. Last night, we've got, of course, critics of the deal explaining their opposition to it as well. I think Hannity not only had former Speaker Gingrich on last night speaking in support of the debt deal, but also he had Congressman Bishop speaking out against the debt deal as well. This was my takeaway. I was going to maybe throw together a quick story on our Montana Talks website on Monday night, you know, wrapping up the Memorial Day weekend. But I thought, no, I want to hear more of the debate. I want to hear more of the conversation. I hadn't even gotten a chance to, you know, it was over the Memorial Day weekend. I was trying to enjoy the Memorial Day weekend and attend Memorial Day ceremonies like many of you were. And so I didn't want to just whip something together fast. I wanted to think it through. I wanted to get a chance to hear arguments in support, arguments against. And I think the biggest question is, why didn't and why aren't House Republicans simply standing firm in their support of the plan that they already passed about 1 month ago? You are hearing a growing list of House Republicans who are speaking out in opposition to this debt ceiling deal. Now, you hear former Speaker Newt Gingrich makes a very good case for why, you know, this is House Republicans for the first time in decades actually getting something out of a debt ceiling negotiation. I mean, what have we seen time and time again where the debt ceiling approaches, the Democrats just want to increase the debt ceiling and have more federal spending, and the Republicans want to lower spending, and they want to push back against the debt ceiling hike. And what ends up happening? The debt ceiling just gets increased and nothing else happens. Republicans get absolutely nothing. And the American people get absolutely nothing other than more debt to shackle future generations and current generations in inflation, right? So, you know, so Gingrich makes a great case. Is, look, this is, and I think Stephen Moore, who was on Trump's 2016 economic team, also makes the case that, look, this is Republicans actually negotiating something, actually getting something out of a debt ceiling deal for a change. But on the other hand, you know, you hear other House Republicans talk about it, the Freedom Caucus members in particular, and make it sound like, no, this deal's even worse than just simply raising the debt ceiling. So where does it really stand? We're going to hear different arguments again here throughout the morning. But my biggest question is this, is who buckled in the House? Who buckled? Were there a handful of moderate Republicans? I mean, with such a tight, a slim majority that Republicans hold in the House right now, who buckled, who caved, why didn't they just stick
with 63? That's 406-201-6263. 406-201-6263.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, the BLM has conducted 2 of 4 public meetings to gather feedback on the agency's new public lands management rule. Among other things, the proposal would require assessments to examine the health of public lands and would apply standards for watersheds, forests, and wildlife habitats. And also, conservation leases could be permitted for up to 10-year terms. Nevada Department of Agriculture Director and Rancher J.J. Goycochea says that groups like NCBA and PLC still have a lot of questions about the rule.
I've read that rule probably 5 or 6 times. I still don't know exactly what it says. I don't think they know what it says. The process they went through by just putting the rule out and now claiming to take public input, but yet they're not really taking comments on it. We have no idea how this is going to play out.
Now, public meetings have already been conducted in Denver and Albuquerque, with the 3rd meeting coming up tomorrow, June 1, in Reno, and the 4th and final, a virtual meeting on June 5th. Ranchers are encouraged to participate in the meetings to maintain multiple uses on BLM lands in the future, including grazing. And keep in mind, comments will be accepted through June 20th. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this.
Hello, everybody. This is Ty Thompson with Northern Livestock Video here in Billings. We're starting our 19th video sale season. We've got our early summer special coming up June 22nd. The consignment deadline is fast approaching here Friday, June the 2nd. This market is in outstanding shape. If you want to be part of that sale, get a hold of us at 866-616-5035. We'll get you in touch with a rep in your area or go to northernlivestockvideo.com. Again, that's the consignment deadline for the early summer special Friday, June the 2nd.
Montana Farm Bureau Summer Conference is June 5th through the 7th in Bozeman at the Grand Trianon. Attendees will hear from inspirational speakers and be able to attend lots of informative workshops. 12 advisory committees will discuss the issues facing Montana's farmers and ranchers and surface ideas for Farm Bureau policy. And the Montana Farm Bureau Foundation fundraiser, Welcome to the Block, will take place at the new Farm Bureau Center west of town. Register today at mfbf.org. Well, according to this week's crop progress report, corn planting has reached 92% complete as of this Sunday. And 69% of the crop is in good to excellent condition. However, that's down from 73% a year ago. Meanwhile, winter wheat nationwide sits at 34% good to excellent condition. It's a little bit better here in our neck of the woods given the recent moisture. But boy, down there in the central and southern plains, the crop remains in pretty tough shape. And spring wheat reached 85% complete as of Sunday, with North Dakota still showing the slowest progress. And finally this morning, it looks like the USDA has published a request for information soliciting comments on possible changes to prevented planting crop insurance coverage. Coinciding with the public comment period, RMA will hold in-person and virtual listening sessions June through August, including several stops right here in our region, like in Colorado, New Mexico, and North Dakota. RMA will accept written comments through its request for information until September 1st. Of course, prevented planting insurance provisions provide valuable coverage when extreme weather conditions prevent expected plantings. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. I mentioned we are going to have Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale on with us live right here on Montana Talks. He's going to kick off our statewide 9 o'clock hour later this morning to detail why he is opposed to this debt ceiling deal that was announced over the Memorial Day weekend. I also have audio of a former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, who is weighing in support of this deal. But first, let's play the audio of Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale on Fox Business with Neil Cavuto yesterday.
Congressman, you don't like this. Why not?
No, there's too much spending in the bill, Neil. I mean, we're going to hear a bunch of technical language over the next few days about mandatory spending and non-defense discretionary spending. But at the end of the day, what the people of Montana care about, and quite frankly, the people across America, are we going to spend more money this year than we spent this year? So, is the federal government going to spend more money next year? And quite frankly, this bill is going to do that. And everybody talks about compromise, Neil. We continually hear that. If we were going to have a compromise, then they should have taken the Limit, Save, and Grow Act that we sent over to the Senate 30 days ago, which had all these provisions built into it, and then the Senate could have amended that and sent it back to the House, and therein we would have had a compromise. But they didn't. The Speaker went to the White House, and they developed a whole new plan, and they brought it back to us, and it does not reduce spending.
Now, of course, the Speaker will argue just the opposite, that inflation-adjusted terms, it is less next year than it is this year. So he'll quibble with you on that. But are you disappointed in the Speaker?
I'm disappointed in this package. Again, we spent a lot of time. I spoke with you. We spent a lot of time developing a package that froze spending at the 22 levels. It clawed back the out-of-control Biden administration spending on the IRS agents and the student loan redistribution program and the $1.2 trillion of subsidies that were going to go to new Green Deal projects. I mean, we had taken a lot of time to do that, and we put a 1.5 debt ceiling increase or March 31st, which would have given us the opportunity to develop the appropriations bills later on this year and then see what kind of debt ceiling increase that we would need to go into next year. But to take all of that, gut it out, and then put a blank check in front of President Biden, which is going to be upwards of $4 trillion, that the American people are not going to accept that. It is an insult to the American people.
So, Congressman, with you, when you were among the first, there were six clear no votes among Republicans. Already the Speaker's behind the eight ball because he couldn't afford to lose any more than four of you. Are any of those six that you know of, including yourself, sir, of the opinion that the Speaker has let you down, that you should question his authority to be Speaker? All it takes is one of you to say you're no longer Speaker.
All right, let's hold it right there. We'll get the reaction from Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale right after this 60-second Fox News update. Of course, you are listening to your Fox News affiliate here, 1450 KMMS Bozeman, 970 KBUL Billings. Back with Rosendale's response in just 60 seconds right after this Fox News update.
News. I'm CJ Papa. Fox News confirming former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie will toss his hat into the ring for the Republican nod for president. The big reveal coming June 6th in New Hampshire. Christie ran in 2016 but then suspended his campaign following a poor showing in the New Hampshire primary, endorsing the eventual winner, Donald Trump. As for Trump, he's in Iowa today and tomorrow, as well as Florida Governor Ron DeSantis stopping today in Sioux City, Council Bluffs, Pella, and Cedar Rapids. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
Not sure what in the bill people are concerned about.
Needs the votes to pass that debt limit deal he made with President Biden. 30 Republicans, one Democrat will vote no, according to Fox tracking. And NASA holds a public meeting today featuring unidentified aerial phenomenon. That's UAP. The new term for UFOs begins at 10:30 Eastern Time. America is listening to Fox News.
Well, that's a good thing I had my microphone turned off there when the news report came out. Oh, Chris Christie's running for president. We'll spare the laughter and the commentary on that one for you. I'm sure John Jackson's already tweeting about that one this morning here. Maybe he can go hug Barack Obama for his announcement video. Yeah, they go do a nice little beach trip. Probably got to do a beach trip to Florida, though, because I don't know. Did they still keep the beaches closed in New York and California? Did the Democrats ever reopen the beaches? Oh, yeah, they did, because that's right. Three Marines just got jumped and kicked in the head on the beach in California. So I forgot. The Democrats did reopen the beaches. So maybe Chris Christie can go to a beach in California and hug Barack Obama for his announcement speech there. All right, let's get back to it here. So I thought that was really interesting, you know, Congressman Matt Rosendale telling Neil Cavuto on Fox Business how he's opposed to this debt deal. And Congressman Rosendale made a great point there, which is, look, what needed to happen is we passed a plan, Limit, Save, Grow, is the name of the package that the Republicans in the House already passed. The Senate should have taken up and debated that plan and then come up with their own version. And then you deconflict the two. But see, the Senate Democrats never came up with a plan. They have never done anything to come up with a plan to lower spending and avoid default on the debt. They haven't been doing a dang thing. John Tester was on vacation along with the rest of the Senate Democrats. Joe Biden, I mean, what basement is he hiding in now, you know? Well, it worked in 2020, they figure, so they'll do it again in 2024. So that was a great point that Congressman Rosendale made. I did think that was interesting. You know, you can tell Neil Cavuto's trying to make news there. He's trying to get Rosendale to say something about how they want to take out McCarthy as Speaker now. I thought it was interesting that Rosendale didn't take the bait in the first question to attack McCarthy. Instead, he said, well, I'm criticizing this plan. And he specifically did not criticize McCarthy there. Then you heard just before the Fox News update that Cavuto tried to press him again. Okay, well, only one vote. One member of Congress can basically vote the Speaker out. So are any Republicans in the House, are you willing to do that? Here's Rosendale's response. I'm hearing it for the first time because I haven't gotten a chance to hear this whole clip yet.
I think right now everyone is really, really focused on making sure that we address the debt ceiling in such a fashion that it responsibly funds government. That's what we're focused on. That's what we've been focused on for the last 3-4 months. And that is primary goal. And again, we delivered a package to the Senate. And there's absolutely no reason that the Senate can't take that up.
For now, that's not happening, I guess. But you know this better than
I. We've got a backup plan.
Understood. But let me ask you this. Look, if this goes through and does pass, gets passed in the Senate, not the package that you want, but the package right now that you don't really want, are you going to claim any retribution against the Speaker?
No, Neil, my focus is completely on responsibly funding government.
Right. The Montana Economic Minute.
Wanting to help people and actually doing it are two different things. Your kid is helped when you pay off their credit card debt, but it may be even more helpful if you did not. Politics is obsessed with taking resources from some and giving them to others. If intentions were all that mattered, then there'd be no problem. But if you want better outcomes, you better focus on incentives. A child whose parents cover their excess spending has no incentive to stay within their means, just as a bank whose failures are offset by government bailouts has less incentive to manage their risk. We like to create laws that create bad incentives and then try to patch it up with rules that prohibit the bad behavior we incentivize. Maybe it's a law that makes water cheap, which encourages waste, with a pile of regulations that tell you you can't waste it. That's proved to be a fantasy. If the incentive is there, workarounds can and will be found. Fixing incentives is hard, but that's no excuse for not doing it. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
He's life. He's liberty. He is Mark Levin. And you can hear him each weekday afternoon starting at 4 on News Talk 103.3 at AM 970.
Hello.
This is where Montana talks. You're listening to Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Flip, flop, flat top. Flip, flop, flat top. He's back at it again here. The flip, flop, flat top liberal Senator John Tester. Yeah, I was going to get a story on our Montana Talks website about this. And then I was going to talk about it on the radio. And the National Republican Senatorial Committee already sent out a press release. They beat me to the punch on this one yesterday. That's all right, though. That's all right. We had a bunch of other things to talk about. But I saw, well, a couple of headlines that I had racked and stacked in my stack of stuff yesterday that we didn't get to. CNN had a story. This was about a week ago. TikTok CEO says, "We will prevail against Montana ban on TikTok." TikTok is this Chinese intelligence collection tool, social media application. And I think I shared that story before because my reaction was basically this. TikTok CEO says, "We will prevail against Montana ban." Well, of course you will. You're going to go to some liberal federal, now maybe not in the long run if it goes all the way to the United States Supreme Court, or maybe the Ninth Circuit might rule on Montana's behalf, but of course TikTok will prevail. It's going to go to some liberal federal judge here in Montana that's in the back pocket of the communist Chinese. Same reason these liberal federal judges in Montana constantly shut down American oil, gas, and coal, but have no problem with Chinese oil and gas and coal. And whatever might go up into the atmosphere over that one and then ride that little jet stream all the way over to hover over Montana. They have no problem with Chinese coal. They got a problem with American coal if you're a liberal federal judge. So, of course, they can so defiantly say that they will prevail against a Montana ban because if you represent a Chinese company, you know you've got these liberal federal judges and these Democrat politicians, and a lot of Republican ones too, right there in your back pocket. So, of course, you can so boldly claim that we will prevail. You know, isn't it funny? Like if you were a contractor, if you were some out of state construction company that was doing wrong to the people of Montana, that was doing some shady business practices, you could be banned in a heartbeat. But if you're some foreign Chinese company, shady business practices, doing wrong to the people of Montana, boy, you've got a whole industry of people that will come out to defend you in your communist Chinese businesses. And one of the leading industries that will defend you is, of course, the liberal mob media. Anyway, I didn't want to talk too much about this TikTok deal, but there was a headline at FoxNews.com as well. Tester reverses course, suggests Montana should not have banned the silly TikTok app after signaling support. So John Tester just thinks that the China spy balloon was just a silly balloon. Wasn't spying on our nuclear missile silos here in Montana. It's just a silly balloon. You guys were just overreacting. Now he thinks that this Chinese intelligence collection tool is just a silly little app. No big deal. No harm. No foul. Blah, blah, blah. But the big story here isn't just about TikTok. It's about the flip, flop, flat, top John Tester, the fake moderate, the phony. And the NRSC called him out in a statement that they sent out yesterday, highlighting this story at FoxNews.com. Like I said, I wish I would have got it. Wish I would have done the hurry up offense and gotten the story on our Montana Talks website on Monday night. But I had more important things to talk about, Memorial Day, etc. So here you go. The National Republican Senatorial Committee, which is chaired by Montana Senator Steve Daines, pointed out that John Tester's record of flip-flopping continues. First, Tester supported Montana's ban on TikTok, saying the state has every right and plenty of grounds to ban the app. Then Tester changed his position on the silly app, saying he's not big on banning anything. Sure you aren't. Oh, you're all about Facebook and Twitter banning the free speech of Americans if it comes to interfering in our elections on behalf of your buddy Joe Biden. You were all about Facebook and Twitter and Google interfering in our free speech rights when it comes to criticizing Lord Fauci. But when it comes to the communist Chinese, you're not big on banning anything all of a sudden, for Pete's sake. NRSC spokeswoman Maggie Aboud said this: Montanans are getting whiplash from John Tester's constant flip-flopping on issues they care about. All right, I'll get that on our Montana Talks website eventually. But we got a show to do here. We got a show to put together here to get ready for, and then continue getting great insight from Montanans here over the course of the next 3.5 hours. Phone lines are open for you, by the way, 406-294-0970. I do want to go back and play audio of former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich. I told you we'd have both sides of this debt ceiling deal debate. And I played the audio of Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale. Thought he made some great points on Fox Business with Neil Cavuto yesterday. Rosendale will be with us live here on Montana Talks later today as well. But here's what former Speaker Gingrich had to say. He says that this is an important first step in curtailing this overspending in Washington, D.C. So he is praising this debt ceiling deal.
Well, look, I think it's pretty straightforward. If you look at where we were going, which was the Biden position of no amendments of any kind, no negotiations, just keep raising the debt ceiling, keep going business as usual, and you look where over 100 days, the House Republicans, who shocked the country by actually passing a bill that had real change, real reform, real cuts, the truth is we are not nearly as well off as we'd like to be because we didn't have a Republican president to negotiate with, but we're dramatically better off than we would have been if we just rolled over for Joe Biden. So the question, I think, for Republicans, and probably where Congressman Bishop and I have the deepest disagreement, is the consequence of a no vote. I believe, having done this, as you know, in my new book, A March to the Majority, where I explain how we spent 4 years negotiating with Bill Clinton, getting to the only 4 years of a balanced budget in your lifetime. We did it one step at a time. Well, this is the first step. Now, Republicans can decide it's a pretty reasonable first step, not everything they want, but it starts the game towards the balanced budget, towards appropriations this fall. Remember, what McCarthy did was establish a ceiling, not a basement. So you can cut from the ceiling down further.
All right. That was an important point made there by former Speaker Newt Gingrich, is that this doesn't establish a floor for new spending. This establishes a ceiling for new spending. And he hinted at it there towards the end of that particular clip, where he says, you know, basically the real fight over spending is going to be this fall with the appropriations process. That's where they really get down into what is actually going to be spent. Not, well, here's what we want to spend, here's what we're thinking about spending, here is what actually is going to be spent in the next year ahead. That's the big fight that really matters, is the one coming up later this fall when it comes to the appropriations process. So he's saying that this is an important first step. Now, listening to both what Congressman Rosendale had to say on Fox Business yesterday and what Speaker Gingrich had to say on Hannity last night, my question is this. Okay, so if the deal that's being touted by Speaker Gingrich is basically one of the biggest chunks of that, is that it would limit spending over the next several years of our federal government to a 1% increase, which is far below inflation, which is, frankly, shouldn't be that hard to do given how bad inflation is under Joe Biden and John Tester right now, right? So if Gingrich is saying, well, here's the I want people to know what the consequences are of a no vote if this deal doesn't go through. I think we all would agree that the Limit, Save, Grow plan that House Republicans passed a month ago is the option, and I don't know why any of the House Republicans would have abandoned that approach, right? But when it comes to what this question Gingrich is throwing out, the consequences of a no vote, this was the question that came to my mind, and maybe this is something we can get an answer to. Okay, so let's say Republicans don't pass this debt ceiling deal, and they can't get limit, save, grow across the finish line, because Senate Democrats in the White House will oppose that anyway. So let's say they don't get this deal across the finish line. Well, what's the consequences of nothing, of no? Because some are making the argument, hey, just raise the debt ceiling. That's better than doing this plan. Is it? So if this plan limits spending to 1%, what will spending be without this plan? 4%, 5%, 6%, 9% of, or does it not really matter because it all comes down to the appropriations fight later this fall? Like I say, those are just some of the questions I have. Interested in your take as well, 294-0970. On our Montana Talks phone lines. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app as well if you want. Here's the deal. If you have the Montana Talks app on your smartphone, you can do both. Well, actually, you can do a lot of things. You can read our latest content and our contributors across the region. You can click the little call button, call us from the app. You can message us through the app. And, of course, you can listen live through the app as well, but some of you are already doing that.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
How do we possibly afford this with $31 trillion in debt? The administrative PAYGO rule for regulations, that's a win, but it expires after 2 years. Now, you also have issues involving future Congresses. You can't control their spending, separate and apart. It only removes $20 billion of the $80 billion given the IRS in the Inflation Reduction Act. And so far, at least the headline on the final agreement does not include rescinding every remaining COVID-19 or American Rescue Plan dollar, and protects funding for housing assistance and other pet projects that the Democrats want. That's a lot of negatives, and that's why I think the Republican Freedom Caucus, among others, is furious about this.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Finding great people to hire can be like trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Their powerful matching technology delivers so many qualified candidates, it's like finding a needle in a needle stack. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. For less hay and more needles, head to ZipRecruiter.
And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Beat the summer heat with Blinds.com's Memorial Day sale. Save 45% now on selected products, plus doorbusters. We have everything from shades to shutters and more, plus outdoor shades to keep you cool all summer. Need help with measuring and installation? We've got you covered there, too. With Blinds.com, you always get upfront pricing right on our website. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day sale now. Save 45% on selected products, plus doorbusters. 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Well, we have a deal when it comes to the debt ceiling deadline, but why didn't House Republicans stick to the deal they just passed 1 month ago that appeared to have the support of the American people, even according to a CNN poll? Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. That's part of what we talked about on Tuesday's show, including the fact that Target lost $10 billion in just 10 days.
BL.com, Babbel.com.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned, online at Grizzly Gold and Silver.com.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Where should we go next? We can talk about how the liberal mob media ignored this bombshell development. The FBI director refusing to respond to a congressional subpoena. So are they going to throw him behind bars like they did to Trump officials who ignored Democrat congressional subpoenas? How many congressional subpoenas have been ignored over the past 40 years? But by golly, if a Trump-era official ignores a Democrat subpoena, then they're going to throw you behind bars, Steve Bannon, others, right? But now the FBI director, and we've seen all the abuses of power committed by the Biden FBI. Why is he going to be thrown behind bars for defying a congressional subpoena? Anyway, we'll tell you about that story here, but I think where we should start is with your messages. We got your messages here on our Montana Talks app, and looks like we got some callers calling in, so we'll go where you want to go on the phone lines, 294-0970. Orrin, I think, is in Billings, said when it comes to the flip-flop flat top, liberal Senator John Tester, John Tester first said he supported a ban on TikTok. Now he says that's just silly. Orrin says the only big banning flip-flop supports is his waistband. The only big banning. Oh, okay. All right. Let's see. Nicole in Columbus. Why would China have TikTok or a China spy balloon if they did not have nefarious intentions? Did you hear that report, Nicole? Yesterday we had that licensed clinical therapist on who was saying that basically TikTok is targeting kids with messages of suicide and self-harm, cutting, etc. They're not doing that in China, though, but they're targeting American kids with that stuff, of course. All right, let's go right into the phone lines. We got Nancy in Roundup first up. Nancy, great to hear from you.
Yeah, just a quick follow-up on what I was talking about yesterday on the Kevin McCarthy debt ceiling bill. I do not believe the man caved. I want to just kind of repeat some things that Mark Levin said yesterday. You know, Kevin McCarthy is doing what other people have tried to do, and he said that Ronald Reagan, of course, tried to get a balanced budget, and there's just no way because the system is so corrupt. But what he did mention last night is that the Convention of States, and if you look at Article 5, we could use that to stop and to force Congress from spending and to also give us a balanced budget. And I was just looking at it last night and also today. It's a fascinating, this Article 5. So I suggest that all of you go out, if you have time today, to do some research on the Convention of States and on this Article 5. But, I praise Kevin McCarthy just like Newt Gingrich does. And I'm going to stick to my guns. I think he's a good man, and I think he's trying to do his best against a brick wall.
Well, you know, I think you're right, and I think that's partly why, when pressed, even these Freedom Caucus conservative members of Congress aren't saying, "Oh, we're going to take him. We're going to call for a vote to remove him as Speaker," because they may not like this deal, but I think they understand why McCarthy felt he had to make a deal for whatever reason, whether it's a handful of moderates that wouldn't stand firm on limit, save, grow, or whether it's hey, this is the only plan that's going to get across the finish line in the Senate and across the White House. But I think your broader point about McCarthy is, what other Republican leader going all the way back to Newt Gingrich, has done this since Newt Gingrich, has actually gotten something done like this, right? Especially when it comes to a debt ceiling deal. So I think you're right on that point, Nancy.
And correct. And let's McCarthy is actually the third most popular Republican in the whole party right now. I mean, he's got a lot of power. And, you know, when you really look at the Republican Party, the GOP, we actually own and we have power control over about half of the government there right now in Washington, D.C. I don't think a lot of people realize that either. But anyway.
And use that. And they need to use that power, right? Yeah, they need to use that power. They got it.
If I get into the House, I'm going to.
All right. Nancy, great to hear from you. Yeah. Talking about she's looking to run for the Montana House. Nancy, thanks for the call. Tim in Billings, if you can, stand by. We'll come back to you in the 7 o'clock hour.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council. Broadcasting from the